Sermon today comes from Luke 5, verses 1 through 11, Launch Out into the Deep, reading these verses. Now it came to pass, while the multitude pressed upon him, and they heard the word of God, that he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out, and they were washing their nets. And as they entered in one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put a little way out from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes out of the boat. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Put out in the deep, and let your nets go for a draught. And Simon answered and said, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at thy word I will let down the nets. And when he had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets were breaking. And they were beckoning unto their partners in the other boat that they should come and help them. And they came and filled their boats so they could begin to sink. But Simon Peter, when he saw it, fell down at the knees of Jesus, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was amazed, and all that were with him, as the draught of the fishes which he had taken. And so was also James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth ye shall catch men. And when they had brought the boats to the land, and they left all and followed him, the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. And I want to stop there and talk about that for a little while, because we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The faith does not come by hearing everything and anything. Jesus said, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Hear what? Hear the word of God. So they pressed upon him to hear the word of God. Now it says, we read it, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. But that lake of Gennesaret is the Sea of Galilee. They pressed upon him to hear his word. There was no way in any synagogue could hold the thousands that came to hear the teaching of Jesus. Since the people pressed upon him, Jesus needed a better position to speak to the people. He needed to be seen and heard from a better vantage. So he entered in one of the boats that belonged to Simon Peter and asked him to put on, out a little from the land. From that vantage point, he was seen at a better advantage as he preached to the multitude. In this case, the Lord was seen to a great advantage, even though he was on a floating pulpit. Now, Jesus used many different pulpits during his life on earth. Think about when he was crucified. He used the cross pulpit to preach as he uttered those famous last words on the cross. He was lifted up in plain view and he could be seen. And he could say later, And if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. He used the mountain for a pulpit when he preached the Sermon on the Mount. When he gave the Great Commission, it was not given to the temple or from a cathedral. It was from a mountaintop in Galilee. In this case, the Lord is in a boat, had a floating pulpit. He sat down and preached from a seated position. Sometimes he stood to preach and sometimes he had to sit. This case with sitting position was the most comfortable besides a boat makes a mighty, shaky pulpit. Come to think of it, it's been my experience that any pulpit is mighty shaky thanks to sin. Some preachers keep them from being tossed overboard by trying to preach a lukewarm message or a balanced message. I had a preacher say that he had a problem. He had conservative members and some members who were really liberal. So he tried to balance between them. He tries to please each faction, and that assures him of not getting booted out of the pulpit or far from the church. The pulpit of the church is always a shaky place to stand. It is good for a preacher to remember, though, the advice of the most popular song many, many years ago. It said, Sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down. You're rocking the boat. The pulpit is indeed a shaky place to stand. and it was easy to rock the boat whether standing or sitting. Now when Jesus came into the world, he chose the apostles, the most unlikely group of men she could imagine. He did not go to the temple and recruit the apostles from among the Sadducees. Much training was needed to prepare them for service, and this story provides one of the incidents as how Jesus taught them, not only but for us too today. The story in their training ground, or perhaps in this case, was their training water. In this event, he teaches them and several of us too, and some things to follow him. First thing he taught them is to use, completely rely and trust in him. In verse 5, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, lift out in the deep and let your nets drop. They all finished, they had fished all night and taken nothing. And Peter was a fisherman, and he knew best how to fish and when to fish. And he knew this wasn't really good, was not a normally good time to fish. But he said, Master, we have toiled all night and taken nothing. But nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the nets. In the Gospel according to Luke, this statement is the first statement that Peter had ever had to say. At thy word, I will do it. Doesn't make any sense, but he did it anyway as an act of obedience to Jesus. Peter would never give a better advice than that. At thy word, I will do it. At thy word, I will do it. In Luke 1:57, it says, no word of God shall be void of power. Some things the Lord may ask us to do may not make sense. But it's his word, believe it, accept it, and do it. What great power in that word by enclosing a great multitude of fishes so that nets were nearly breaking point. At thy word, Lord, Jesus also said in Mark 13:31, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. So whatever he says to do, do it. But also consider what Jesus had to say in John 12:48. He said there, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my sayings hath one that judgeth him. The word that I speak, the same shall judge him in the last day, on the judgment day. God's word will be there, the words of 66 books. It says on the judgment day in Revelation, there was the book of life, another book, and 66 books, which would be the Bible. Jesus' word. So what choice do you have? Whatever he said unto you, do it. Then two things, a statement of Paul over in Ephesians to the church at Ephesus in chapter 6, verse 16. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. See, the word of God is the greatest defense against the devil. So whatsoever he saith unto us, we do it. Or we should do. Perhaps the most impressive thing about the Word of God is the picture that he shows us in Revelation 19:13. John there, of course, having received the message from the angel, Jesus to the angel, and God to Jesus, John had described Jesus on a white horse, arrayed in a garment, speckled in blood, and the name was called the Word of God. And all this is to be the fact that John stated at the beginning of his record of his ministry. Remember what he said in John 1:1? I'll read it to you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was the beginning with God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Whatsoever he saith unto us, do it. Any word is a great word. Think of all. All Peter did was lend a boat to Jesus, and he received in return a boat full of fish for his obedience. That was a mighty big return for a borrowed boat. A net full of fishes, and later on, called to be an apostle. Then he became a keynote speaker, Peter did, on the day of Pentecost. And Peter also was author of at least two New Testament books, and had the great honor of dying on the cross. And tradition tells us he probably was crucified upside down. He receives all these honors in exchange for a borrowed boat. The return for serving the Lord cannot be calculated. Whatsoever he saith unto do, do it. Now in verse 8, when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. A man is never taller when he is on the knees before God. I've heard many times for years, for some people can learn about God or accept him, they have to get knocked down to their knees to look up. But also remember the word of old Simeon about Jesus when he was 8 days old. Simeon said, Now lettest thou thy servant, Lord, depart in peace, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. A person who feels he's not worthy to be close to the Lord, you know what? If you feel you're not worthy to be close to the Lord at all, you're closer to the Lord than you realize. Now in verse 10, Jesus told Peter, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Now the fear not of Jesus is comforting. The greatest fear is not recorded on the Isle of Patmos. In 19 through 18, in Revelation 1, Jesus, or John, saw a vision of the glorified Christ, and he fell on his feet as one dead. And Jesus laid his hand on him and said, Fear not, for I am the living one, and I was dead, and now I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades. Just two keys. One key is the key of death. He's able to unlock every grave, every casket, every tomb, and every crypt. He also has a key to the spirit world. He can unlock every grave and unite with on the departed spirit, both saint and sinner, at the resurrection. What a comfort it was for John as a Christian and for us to hear Jesus say, Fear not. In the case Jesus said, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch fish. For Peter was amazed at the catch of fish. And Jesus was saying, Peter, do you think this is something? Remember, they almost an implied inference. You haven't seen anything yet. Just wait till the first Pentecost, after the resurrection. I will make you a fisher of men. Peter must have thought about that event the first day when he preached that gospel message on the first time and the church was born. The miraculous catch of fish was a tip or type, really, of what happened on Pentecost after the resurrection. On that day, the big fisherman used only the bait that he could use to catch fish. And that was the story of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's the facts of the Jesus, may we call the gospel. He told them that he had crucified the Lord, and they were convicted of their sin, and they asked, what must they do? In Acts 2, 38-42, he told them to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and they would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For to you it is promised, and your children, and all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call unto him. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and there was added unto them that day 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in apostle doctrine, fellowship, and a breaking of bread, and prayers. At last Peter knew what it was to be like a fisher of men, like the Lord told him when he said, Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Now, in fishing for fish, you draw live fish from the water to die. But in fishing for men, you draw men who are dead to sin from the waters of baptism to live. Romans 6:3 makes a point here when Paul writes and says, We arise to walk in the newness of life. There's no gospel course that tells it like it is. I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. We need to learn the lesson that Peter learned that day by the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Nevertheless, at thy word I'll do it. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw. And now this is the training of water of the apostles. It was the second lesson that the Lord taught them too, and us. He taught them that the Lord God is the God of supply. After he finished his message to the multitudes, he said, launch out into the deep. The Lord will be beholden to no one. No one ever be able to say to the Lord Jesus, Lord, it looks like you owe me one. Lord, look what I did for your service. I'm up on one. The Lord will never be indebted to any of us. He borrowed Peter's boat, and now he pays him for that. He supplied the food. The apostles learned this lesson well. When they stood on the Mount of Olives and were going to be told to go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, there was no evidence that they asked, Lord, where will we get all the money to go everywhere? Who will pay the bill? They learned that God was a God of supply. And we need to learn that too. I read once what a preacher said about that. He said, in any church of our congregations, the people there pick out any 11 in all the churches. That 11 will have more money in their pockets than the apostles did when they stood on the mountaintop. And this Jesus issued those orders of world class. They did not ask him where the money was coming from because they were talking to the risen Lord, and they knew if he could raise the dead, raising the money would be a minor problem. I have, and I feel many of you have learned that experience too in many years. That the Lord is a God of supply. Jesus is a God of supply. Remember that when we caught the fish, the nets were beginning to break. Luke tells us in verse 7, when the nets began to break, they beckoned unto them partners that were in the other ship that they come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so they were so full they began to sink. So we need to launch out in the deep. We've all seen at one time or another a swimming pool in a motel or a hotel. And usually at one end of the pool, there's always a small wading pool for the small children where they play with the rubber ducks or rubber toys. Can you imagine a deep sea diver with oxygen lines laid out, his compressor has been placed, he puts on his diving suit, his helmet, and he bravely marches into the wading pool to play with the rubber toys. Now this is an impression of many, many of our modern day churches. Church has supplied all equipment. We have the Bible, we have the money, the manpower, we have the Holy Spirit. We have our marching orders from the Lord, and we're content to piddle around in the wading pool playing with our rubber toys. Jesus said, launch out into the deep and let down the nets for the draw. Our bungled way, really, of fishing for men can be summed up in these lines. Listen to this. Tangled in the nets of wild philosophy, heaving the lead unto unplumbed infinity, caught in the backlash of ideas ill-cast, baffled we stand by the shore at last. Snagged barbs and snarled lines, torn sails, what fishers of we, teach us thy scale, O man of Galilee. Launch out to the deep and let your nets spread full. Let's close this message with some more thoughts, though. How many people are waiting in the shoreline of service week after week? Are they tired of being an amateur Christian? As you stand on that shore and look out into the deep, it's good to remember these words quoted lines. There's a time and tide in the affairs of men, which taken at the flood leads on to fortune. Omitted all the voyage of life is hounded in miseries and shallows, and we must take the current when it serves our loves or our ventures. So launch out into the deep. Notice Peter did not go very far that moment to launch out in the deep. He went right back to a place where he'd been fishing all night, taking nothing. So we can launch out in the deep too. right where you are. Did you ever get to, into really deep water in serving the Lord? Well, let's do it this way. For a basic beginning, why not start with reading of God's Word? Compare the amount of hours spent for watching TV or your hobby or whatever you do, and leaves little or no time at all for the Word of God. And you have a vivid example of piddling around at the wading pool of life, playing with your rubber toys. Launch out in the deep of the Word of God, at the Garden of Eden, where they ate the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and sail through the paradise of God, where the tree of life now is on both sides of the river that flows from the throne of God. How about launching out to the patriarchs and keep sailing until you've reached the apostles? Launch out at the prophecies. Sail on to the epistles. How deep did you ever go into the evangelistic ocean of the book of Acts? Complete history of what the apostles did when Jesus said, "Teach them all things that I commanded you," Matthew 28. So how deep have you gone out in preparing yourself to be a fisher of men? You know, the Sea of Galilee was about 12 miles long and almost 8 miles wide. But we don't have to fish ourselves in that narrow confines. Because of the miracle of electronics, there's no limit to the vast area of gospel. Ocean where fishes for souls of men. We need to just keep launching out in the deep and take that step of faith. All night they toiled, those men of Galilee, casting their heavy nets with the sea, and taking nothing when drawn sustained the sky, they made for the shore, prepared their nets to dry. Launch out in the deep, a voice they knew dispelled their gloom, their courage winged anew. Launched out in the words in the grim day, become a challenge to vast depths, the soul Mary clung. Where loved ones' service, comfort, joy, and peace shall overflow the cup and shall increase. Launch out, let down the nets. So the voice again brings hope to lift up troubled hearts of men. Launched out into the deep and let down your nets. Let's close in prayer.